What's so glorious about death? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. If you thought that a series called The Art of Dying Well might get a little morbid or ghoulish, we hope you've been pleasantly surprised. As we wind down this study, your overall impression may be that we just haven't had our minds renewed enough on this topic. The Word tells us that the experience of death is quite glorious. Pastor Jim will get specific today about what we can look to gain at our homecoming. If you can, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians.
What aspects of death can we look at as glory? Think about that for a moment. Let me comment on one other observation before we go there. Up until the moment that Jesus died, death was a horrible judgment for sin. It was the soul of the sinner shall surely die. And death was the constant and universal experience of people, demonstrating that all of us are sinners. Up until Jesus died, death, even for the righteous person, was a very awesome experience. There wasn't any light on the other side, very little light on the other side. I know what Job said, man of great faith, though worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I will stand upon the earth. Job was a man of great vision, great faith. I know that David said in the death of his son that he won't return to me, but I'll go to him. I understand that. So there were some glimpses of what was going on beyond the veil of the shadow of death. But for most people, even very good people, death was an awesome and frightening experience because they didn't know what lay beyond that. Up until just a few weeks ago, there was a scrim up there as a part of the concert. You remember that black screen? And when we looked at it from out here, it looked black, and you could not see anything on the other side. But during certain parts of the concert, people would be positioned back there, angels, whoever, and a light would be turned on, and suddenly the scrim becomes translucent. You can actually see what's happening on the side. And what had appeared to be a black wall became instead a screen, but you could see through the screen. Now, until Jesus died, death was like that scrim. It was a black wall or a black hole. Everybody knew that they were going to go up to it and they were going to submit to it and they were going to cease to live in this life. Everybody knew that. And with only two exceptions, everybody did die. Those exceptions would be Enoch and Elijah. Everybody else came to that scrim and died. They didn't know what happened. They knew that the soul and spirit went somewhere, someplace called Sheol, someplace that was a place of departed spirits. They knew that, but that was about all really that they knew. But when Jesus died, he went through the scrim and turned the light on. He shows us death from a whole different perspective. So that death, which was designed as an act of judgment upon men and women for their sin, became, through Jesus Christ, the act of God's mercy and grace. So the death for the Christian is a welcome release because the light's on. And we know what's on the other side. And we've been guaranteed that he who went through the scrim and came back and has gone to heaven, that he will be with us through the experience of death, and there's no reason to fear. So fear has lost its hold upon the Christian when it comes to death. And instead of being something of judgment, it's a glorious act of release. It becomes a gift of God, the gift of death. But in that gift, God accomplishes certain things that glorify you. I can think of a couple. Let me get us started, may I? And then maybe you can help me tonight by adding those that you have thought about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. The Apostle Paul talks about this whole matter in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And of course, his focus here is on the resurrection of the physical body. And he tells us that because Jesus died and rose again, we are going to die to rise again. 1 Corinthians 15. In his death, there is a pattern. In his death, there is a promise. But look at what Paul says in verse 50, 1 Corinthians 15, 50. Now watch. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. What's that mean? That means that in our present physical bodies, subject to decay, corruption, subject to mortality, we cannot experience the full blessings of the kingdom of God. That's what that means. Right now, you are limited. Now, many of our brothers and sisters in the faith don't accept that. And they would have us believe that God only wants us to experience now health, happiness, prosperity, wealth. Why? Because you're a member of the kingdom of God. And from their perspective, that means that you should act like and expect the king. You see it on TV all the time. I'm a child of the king. That's why I drive this big car. I'm a child of the king. That's why I live this expensive lifestyle. You should do the same. You know, think, name it, claim it, all of those. Now, the problem with all of that is the refusal to accept the fact that at this time right now, though I am a child of the king, I'm a member of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I have been born into that kingdom, but I cannot experience its full reality yet. Death is the release from that body, that vessel that Paul says is flesh and blood. It's the release from that body. And Paul here anticipates that there will be a resurrection of my body, but it will be resurrected in glory, in power. He goes on to talk about that. Verse 52. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. This corruption must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. In other words, there are aspects, there are experiences, there are parts of being in the kingdom of God that I can't experience this side of death. That's the whole point. And death releases my spirit from the hold of the body and the flesh. Okay? And let me show you, let me show you another passage in Ephesians chapter 2, which teaches the same thing, but a different truth is held up for us. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his resurrection and exaltation, is exalted far above all principalities and powers. We talked about that. Above every name that is named, that's where he sits now. And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul goes on to say in verse 4 that this God who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Now watch. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. That means that there's a great deal of God's purpose and plan for those that he has saved, which isn't evident now. It means that right now, I am in Christ Jesus, and being in him, I am seated with him in heavenly places. That's an incredible truth, but you can't see that, can you? And I don't feel that. I'm far more aware of the physical realities around me than I am the spiritual position that I have been given in Christ Jesus. Death will release that. And the reality of my being with Christ and my being seated with him in heavenly places will become, I can't say a physical reality, but it'll become a spiritual reality. My spirit will experience that. That aspect of my salvation will become experience. And following my death and, of course, subsequent resurrection, this passage tells us that God has some very important things he's going to do. In the ages to come, God is going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God has determined to make you, as a child of God, an exhibit, a demonstration of the depth of his grace and his mercy and his goodness. He wants to show the rest of the created orders, and we have no idea how many they are. We only know about a few of them. But God wants to, in the future ages of eternity, he wants us, I'm going to use a bad term here because I want you to remember this, but God wants to use us as his eye candy. You understand that term? Some of these 65-year-old millionaires find themselves a 22-year-old cutie and they marry her. And she becomes what the rap people call his eye candy. Good looking. Sweet to look at. And everywhere they go together, everybody looks at her and thinks, boy, he must be something else. 65, but he's got a dead ringer there on his arm. And so people think all these wonderful things. Actually, people think he's stupid. But he thinks people think that they think all these wonderful things about him because he has this beautiful woman, young woman, who graces his company and stands beside him. She's eye candy, candy for the eye. But on a much, much higher and much deeper sense of that idea, God has chosen in the future to demonstrate his goodness, his grace, his mercy in the way he treats us. We will be exhibit A for all the other created intelligences to stand by and say, wow, I didn't know. I mean, I knew God was good, but I didn't know he was that good. I knew God was gracious, but I had no idea that he was that gracious. Isn't that incredible? Death keeps us from any participation in that at the moment. We're still in this body, and while we receive God's goodness and his mercy and grace, God still permits our adversary to bang away at us, to tempt us. He permits the adversary to seek to deceive us, and we live in a fallen, corrupt world among blind and unregenerate people. All of that changes in the moment of death. Now, yesterday I cited, and since I didn't have a chance in the second message, let me repeat that. I cited the verses from the epistle of 1 John as another demonstration of this principle. Look at it. 1 John chapter 3. John is writing about these things. 1 John chapter 3. He says, beloved, we are now the sons of God, right now. You should know right now that you are saved, that your sins have been forgiven, that you have been born into God's family, God's kingdom. That's not something you need to wait on or something you should postpone to after death. You can know right now, you should know right now that you're a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. John says, beloved, we are now, verse 2, we are now the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. That means that I can't look at you and see the finished product. You can't look at me and see the finished product. You see what he's saying? It's not yet revealed what God has prepared for those whom he loves and those who love him. We don't even have a good glimpse of what's ahead. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. That's an incredible promise, that we will be like him. Building on that same truth, the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, he says the same thing, this way. He says, chapter 3, Colossians, verse 1, if then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Appear with him. Back to that dokeo. It will be obvious in that day that you are truly a child of God by the way you appear, by your appearance. But those last two words, then will we appear with him in glory, does not mean we will appear with him in heaven. It means we will appear with him in a state of glory. We will then be wearing robes of glory. We will then be fully glorified. Our bodies will have been radically changed. Our clothing will have been radically changed, so that in that day, on the other side of death, God will have perfected his work in us. And when any of the angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim look at you, it will be obvious to them that you are a child of God. You will be in a state of glory. Wow, huh? Death is the prelude to that. Death is when we leave this state here, this body here, these conditions here, and we go to that place there and begin to experience the unfolding of the glory of God in our lives, the transforming power of God that will take from us all imperfection and that will radically change our appearance outwardly and inwardly. John had said in 1 John chapter 1, if you say that you don't have sin, you lie, you deceive yourself. You call God a liar. But when we die, we lose forever that old sin nature, that temptation, that capacity, that downward tug, that thing that makes us susceptible to pride, to temptation, to deception, that sin nature, that inner nature that we receive from Adam, that we leave behind at the moment of death. That's a part of that transformation. That's a part of that glorification process. See that? So for us, death becomes not a destructive force that ends it all. Death, by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, has become a wonderful leap into the fuller experience of what we are as children of God. Verses run through my mind right now. Paul in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humiliation and fashion it into a body like his. Our body of humiliation, the Greek means the body that inhibits, the body that weakens, the body that restrains us. We are prisoners in these bodies. And they are in that sense, they debilitate, they frustrate the capacity to express love, to understand, to serve, to minister. We become tired, we become weak, we become sick. Sometimes we become confused. All of those things are associated with our body, with our experience here in this world at this moment. All of that's going to be changed. You are going to be loosed, and you are going to be experiencing the process by which God is going to glorify you, glorify me. It's incredible. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at that passage with me. Hebrews chapter 2. Here the apostle is looking back on the purpose for which God made man. And such a marvelous passage. Verse 6, Hebrews 2, 6. One testified, that would be David, testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you, God, are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. In that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. What's that mean? That means that you can't look at me tonight and you do not see the royal authority that God intends for me. That's what that means.
For this perishable nature of ours must be wrapped in imperishability. These bodies which are mortal must be wrapped in immortality, as J.B. Phillips paraphrased Paul. Today, Pastor Jim has given us some very solid reasons to believe that death, for the Christian, will be unimaginably good. His sermon is called The Hour of Glory, Part 2. For a gift of $7 or more, you can own the message on CD. Our current series, which we'll finish tomorrow, is called The Art of Dying Well. There are only a half dozen sermons, and you can have them all for a donation of $26 or more. Your gifts and your prayers are the fuel that the Holy Spirit combusts to energize Right Start. To distribute a broadcast like this takes a lot of resources, and that requires lots of open spiritual ears out there and hearts. Thanks for considering what you can do. Special thanks to everyone on the team. If you'd like to join up, you can write us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call us at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. On the internet, find us at rightstartradio.org. You can subscribe to our podcast, published every weekday over iTunes. Or right there on our site, you can play or download complete sermons by Pastor Jim, no charge, or even re-listen to past radio programs. Email us, contribute, and more at rightstartradio.org. You will not be spammed, just appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. I said that nature hints at what death really is. Jim will point out some examples of that tomorrow. Please join us again for a midweek Right Start.